Hey, Big and Lazy, give me a moment of your time to talk about IECA Services, the licensed electric company operating in Kentucky. They can pull permit, they can do everything from adding outlets to your TV, installing new light fixtures, to wiring an investment property, or even building something new from scratch. So whether you're in your living room and you want to add on something to your house, or you're in a real estate investor and you want to find an electrician to rewire an investment property, hit up IECA Services right now. Link is in the bio.
Hey, this is B. Haywood, executive producer of Confirmed Multimedia. And if you want extra content, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/confirmed and get early access to all of our content.
You're listening to Confirmed.
Embrace the ugly, bro, because I'm a human being, and some of them scars, bro, they turn pretty when they heal.
Another Confirmed Multimedia production. Confirmed.
Subscribe now.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. Give us something good, good to eat. Give us something good to watch.
Big and Lazy.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. I'm Big, I'm B-Fines. I'm back with another special guest, another special episode. We got Mixed by Ra-Ra in the house. Welcome to the set, man.
What's good with you, bro? How you doing?
I can't call it. Get the handshake. I see you iced out, man.
Pinky rings out.
We coming,
man. It's old man status on pepper beer shit, man.
There you go. All white on. I feel you, man.
For real, for real.
How's it going today, man? How you been doing?
Man, I'm cooling, bro. I'm cooling for the most part. I can't complain. If I do, ain't nobody going to listen, bro. You hear me?
Yeah. I say it all the time. Man. People, hey, what's up? I can't complain. I can't call it. You know what I mean?
Nah, facts. Mm-hmm. Facts.
So how, Mixed by Robert, so you're, how long you been an engineer? How long you been a...
Oh, man, to be honest, bro, my artist name is Rod Smooth, but the Mixed by Ra-Ra shit kind of came about, like, back in 2012, bro, like, to give my little history or whatever.
Take it down.
Back in 2012, my cousin, shouts out to Norfolk P, you know how it is, if you don't know, but, like, not trying to sun you or nothing, you dig, but
yeah.
Back in them days, bro, studio time was one thing, and, like, niggas was telling me, you know, it'd take a week to mix and master a song, and my peoples eventually got impatient, bro, and he bought a whole lot of studio equipment. Yeah. Now, granted, we didn't know what the hell we was doing, you know what I'm saying? But
right.
He spent top dollar for all his equipment, you know what I mean? And over time, bro, YouTube University, and I'm a guy who's big on relationships, so I had engineers in other states, a white dude in Indiana. Just eventually started teaching myself, you know what I'm saying? And over time came, like, one of this guy named, shout out to Hookmaster Jazz, he done worked on a lot of Grammy-nominated records and so forth, but he came in and sat down and showed me some game, and then it just turned into me getting in my 30s, bro. Like, one day I just had that epiphany, like, you know what? I get paid for my music, bro, my catalog and register, so forth. I gotta share these gems with somebody.
Right.
Versus trying to, you know what I'm saying? Because we can't be selfish as men, but the youth is always tomorrow, bro. You know what I'm saying? So that's really where the whole engineering thing came from. And that wasn't so easy, though, because, again, you're dealing with somebody like, I'm a cool nigga on the slide, but I'm not, like, a people person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm real big on energy, real big on vibes. I can't just get around anybody. You know what I'm saying? I can't let anybody around me. So the beginning of being an engineer for me, bro, it was a hard task because it's like half the time I ain't even really open my mouth and say nothing and give no critiques. You know what I'm saying? But eventually, bro, just the artist in me started meshing well with being an engineer. So said all that to say, that's where the Mixed by Ra-Ra come from. That's where the engineering come from. But I'm an artist before anything, though.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So which one did you like better, being an artist or being an engineer?
Whew, that's a great question. Man, to be honest, I really can't say I like one either way. But I am starting to get more joy out of seeing somebody not have that confidence in working with them for a month. And by month four, they totally, you know what I'm saying? They ready to go. The ego is not really there no more. You can see where they improve in that. Like, I like seeing people be happy, bro. I like bringing, I don't know, it's like coaching, you know what I'm saying? Like, I like to see people come in at a certain level. And with my help working with them, you know what I'm saying, I see them excel. So I have to say being an engineer for real, for real. It's just something that, like, that feeling never gets old, bro. When you see niggas jump around in the studio because their songs sound better than they ever heard it, or their vocals sound better than they ever heard it, or they might throw an idea at me and I understand what they're telling me because, again, I'm an artist, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
I'm tying them together. So I'll probably say being an engineer for sure.
Oh, that's dope, man.
Yeah.
So you said you got a university? Did I read it right?
No, I said YouTube University.
Oh, okay, YouTube,
okay. University. I feel like I need one, though.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've been, honestly, man, I was kind of working on some stuff to, I ain't gonna get into depth about that, but I was working on some stuff, bro, trying to do like a nonprofit, teaching kids more so. It's computer science, like a lot of people may not understand, but when you're engineering and producing, that's computer science, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, professionalism, that's a part of running a business. Punctuality, being on time, how you carrying yourself, you know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
I was working on my nonprofit. Things kind of got a little rocky. I haven't given up on it, but That's eventually the goal, to have my own organization, mini university, whatever you would like to call it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
Like, for sure.
So, just take you back to being an artist. Like, when was your first, like, do you remember the first track you ever recorded as an artist? Or, like, and when did you realize you had, like, some talent as a rapper?
As a rapper?
Uh-huh.
And I probably was 9. I'm going to show my age on this one. You remember when Walmart used to have them singles?
Yeah.
They had the radio version, the dirty version, you feel me, and the instrumental. I think I was probably like in third grade or something, bro, and I wrote my first song to that Bag Lady. You know what I'm saying? All my
Hold phone. On. Erykah Badu?
Yeah, that was the first
song there?
That
okay.
was the first song I ever written to, bro, uh-huh. was Bag Lady, bro. Like, my cousins and shit, you know, they was doing what they was doing outside or whatever, and I spit it to them, and they was looking like, damn, you know, for you to be a kid, like, the way how you descriptive with your words and paint the picture, it's like, you need to keep doing that. You know what I'm saying? So that just made me fall in love with it. And then, to be honest, bro, like, music was always an escape for me. Like, I'll never say I had a dream to be this big star or something, because, again, like, I'm camera shy for real. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But, like, bro, I had my father was on drugs, my auntie was on drugs, uncle was on drugs. Same story a lot of people have, but
yeah.
that was my escape rap, was at Penn.
Mm-hmm.
And at 9 years old, I wrote my first song to that Bag Lady. So that just made me fall in love with music, like, all over. You know what I mean?
Right.
For real.
So did you record that song?
Actually, we did, bro. We, back in them days, bro, used to have a little radio with the cassette tape. You know what I'm saying? The cassette tape and the little three lines for the mic and put a blank in there, bro, and hit record. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, we did record it. I wish I had money to find that tape right now, too, but
right.
that's the first time I ever recorded for real.
These kids don't realize how good they got it.
Bro.
It's technology,
I'm
man.
I'm trying to tell you, bro. Like, Band Lab still kills me out because, nigga, the fact of you got all this in a phone. You
real
could
thing?
Be in the car. You could be at work on your break. You can be in school, whatever age bracket, just to get that idea down, bro. You don't have to go to a microphone to turn on a laptop or book a session. You know what I'm saying? So, that is deep, bro. Technology has changed in a lot of ways, bro, especially from the quality aspect, too, because you can make something sound amazing with a little bit of nothing. $1,000 can make you, can put you on the radio if you learn the trade, you know what I'm saying, and learn the skill set, for sure.
So would you say, like, how would it been different if you had the technology, these kids, like, you say, would it been any different for you if you had the technology and resources that, because with this cell phone, you got reach, this is a high power
you
antenna. It's just more, you can use this more for wrecking on IG.
You
this
do.
Is a high power, you got ChatGPT, so how would you, you know?
Oh, man, like, to be honest, bro, like, I can't say that it may have worked out differently, because the pro to it is now you can reach China with the click of a button.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But what that does is it takes away like the bare necessities of being an artist to getting out in the streets, the street teams, the shaking hands, to even if now, you know, we come from the CD era, but bro, you could pass out your USB,
mm-hmm.
you could pass out a barcode, yeah, mm-hmm. digital card, you know what I'm saying? Like it's like it cripples artists in a sense today, because a lot of people now relying on visibility is everything, content is king, but it's nothing like really touching your people and building their core fan base or building an audience that people that really want to fuck with you versus I'm going to put it out, whoever going to gravitate towards it, cool, but it's nothing like shaking hands with the people that really want to fuck with you. So I could say, like, back in them days, it might have worked for me, but today is the best time, bro. Like, as crazy as that sounds, because even though it's a difference, it's like being able to hit that button and get places that your feet will never touch. It's like me, like, and not to pop my shit or nothing, like, a lot of niggas may know, they may not know, but I got 6 million streams, bro.
Really?
I got 6 million, bro. My catalog is over 300 songs deep. I'm working on my 34th album that I'm releasing. I have 39 in total.
Uh-huh.
So, but a lot of my market is nowhere in the United States.
34 albums?
34, bro.
That's amazing.
That's a fact, bro. Uh-huh. 34, bro.
So you said the 5... What happened to the other fact? You said 39.
I never released them.
Okay.
I haven't released them. Yeah, but in total, it's like 39. But that I've released, it's been 34. Like, I'm from the Dat Piff era. When they took that down, I had 5 or 6 of them that got lost in the sauce, which I still have them. But I'm from that era, bro. I got 34. That's out right now, bro, for sure.
While I'm on the subject, Dat Piff, that was an amazing era. It was an amazing era. And
facts.
Meek Mill is my favorite rapper.
Okay.
And I'm not going to say he dominated the era, but his mixtapes, he got 2 or 3 mixtapes in the top 10.
And Dream Chasers was a run.
He got the most downloaded mixtape ever.
That was a run.
That's an accomplishment.
That was a run. No, that was a run.
So I'm going to ask you, what is your top 3 Dat Piff projects?
Ooh, oh, man. Top 3. He's not like the guy that I would look at as my favorite rapper or nothing, but bro, that Juicy J, Blue Dream, and Lean. Back in them days, boy.
Yeah.
A Juicy J, Blue Zip Dream, and Lean.
Double cup.
Get
yeah.
And it was Blue Dream and Lean. Then, bro, you know, Mouse on the Track. Trillion T producer, Mouse on the Track. He got a tape called Airtime. Bro, Airtime was crazy, bro. He got this song called Detour. That stayed on repeat. And then, man, the last that I'll say from my era, it really wasn't, it's not one, but all them Rocco mixtapes, bro. All them Rocco mixtapes, bro. Rocco is the, bro, when it comes to the mixtape era, bro, of course Future, but like, a lot of them Rocco mixtapes, bro, like Wordplay, Wordplay for Dummies, Gift the Gab, you know what I'm saying? Like, them was,
Gift the Gab was playing.
Bro, them was the ones for me off at Dat Piff Forever, which it was live mixtapes, Dat Piff, but you know what I'm saying? That was it for me for sure.
I remember I was a CD king back in high school, and when I got my first whip, it was like the height, like 2010, it was the height of that era, and I used to burn everything. So I got a little story. My brother was going back to college. I was driving him back to Campbellsville. Excuse me. I was going back to Campbellsville, and this is before, to age me a little bit, it wasn't no, you couldn't stream it. Like, you couldn't just have the app on your phone. You had to download to see, you know, you do whoop. So, Lil Wayne was dropping, what mixtape was it? Sorry for the wait. It was something, but he just kept, I'm like, I'm going to download this mixtape so we can have some ride music.
Yeah.
2 o'clock come, he pushed it back another hour. O'clock come, he pushed it back another, it's like a 2 hour drive, and it gets dark pretty quick. So we got to leave out. No lie, we didn't leave about 7 o'clock waiting on that Wayne.
Waiting on it to drop. Just for the ride.
Just for the ride, man.
My mom was my father cut you off. Was it that dedication? Was it one of them dedications you think he was pushing back?
It might have been one of the dedications. It wasn't No Ceilings. It was either No Ceilings.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you the name of the mixtape. It was, it might be one of the dedications.
I'm thinking because you said, what, 2011, 2012, 2010, somewhere in there?
This was 2000, so my brother graduated. So this is probably like late 2012, early 2013. Yeah, late 2012. So this is like between August of December of 2012. So
yeah,
in that time frame. But that was a good story, man. My mom was mad as shit. Like, God damn it, we out here in the dark. And
niggas wasn't leaving.
Yeah, we weren't leaving until we got that Wayne, man.
Wasn't pulling off.
But yeah, but Meek Mill, that's probably my number one. I like that Rich Forever by Ross.
Yeah, that was platinum.
Uh-huh.
That was platinum.
And it's so many. You can go Future. You can go Wayne. You can go Wiz Khalifa.
That Wiz. Which one was that where he had that She Never Been? What tape was that? Remember what that was?
That was Cushion Orange Juice.
Cushion Orange Juice. I was rocking with that, too.
And that's when I first started smoking, so that holds a special place. Seriously, that was my first time hitting the weed. Weed to talk about it, you know what I mean? You couldn't tell me no. I was about this close to getting the blind patch, man. I was growing my fro. I was about this close to getting the blind patch, man.
Nah, you silly fella.
So give us 3 tips for an artist who wants to book with your studio.
3 tips. Number one is contact me. You know what I'm saying? For sure, I'm reachable, bro. You talk to me, I talk back. Number two is understand that my time is serious, and I'm serious about y'all time as well. You know what I'm saying? So deposit is required for booking because in the day and age we live in, man, a lot of people, they feel like that they so busy, they forget that you be busy too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So a deposit is just a way of showing that you're serious. And number three is, man, just when you come lock in with me, man, just like be prepared to, like, we ain't in camp or nothing, but like I'm really going to try to bond with you, build a relationship with you as far as with the music, with me being an artist. And know, like, bro, I'm not only here to help you and support you and aid you, but I'm here to teach you and learn from you. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Because the youth got a lot of stuff that they do musically that older people don't appreciate. You know what I'm saying? So that was the main thing, 3 for me, bro, is just reach out to me. Have your deposit ready and just understand when you come in a session with me, bro, like, I'm going to let you do your thing, but I'm not a yes man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you paying me your money, so my job is to give you my best work. You dig what I'm saying? And my name's on that product with yours. So,
right.
You know.
So you're not just going to put some baloney out.
Just to take your money. Nah, man. My integrity will never allow me. You know what I mean?
Right.
For sure, for sure.
So let me ask you this. How do you feel about, it's gotten better in the recent years. How do you feel about the rift between, like, older versions of hip-hop and younger versions
and younger
of hip-hop? Because I think Drink Champs is partly responsible for this.
Yeah.
Because they was like, we gonna give
all the older legends
flowers. Yeah. And it's true, like Bon Jovi and Coldplay, they can be 60, 70 years
still
old.
Still touring, bro.
Selling out a football arena.
Hey, bro. Hey, bro, 2023 at the Funk Fest, bro. I'm not gonna say his name out of respect for him because he's a very old gentleman.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Bro, this man he got pulled up on a golf cart. You hear me?
Yeah.
Got helped on the stage, bro.
Uh-huh.
And he still, I mean, which, it's not hip-hop, but, like, when it come to rap music, bro, they think it has an age limit or something. You know what I'm saying? This cat was literally, bro, damn near 80 years old. Had to get help on the stage.
Yeah.
But he's accepted by the crowd was out there, knew every word of his music, was supporting him.
That's what's up, man.
Well, rappers, we don't look at it that way. You know what I'm saying? This generation of music, they don't look at it that way. To answer your question, though, man, that's kind of, it's weird, though, because you have some youngins that might look at it like, man, y'all old niggas or y'all washed up or y'all trying to let us do us. Me, I kind of fall right in the middle because I love when the younger cats express themselves, you feel me? But the thing I feel like is missing there musically is, like, talent. You have people that's talented, but a lot of these younger dudes, bro, they be so worried about what their peers is going to say that they had it for a long time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or they may not be in a space to where they want to put it on full display because it's like, I don't want to seem like I'm lame. Reality of it is, the name of the game is your talent, bro. If you and 50 other niggas sound the same, how you running around talking about you a goat?
Right.
How you running around talking about you the hardest and you not doing nothing that's catchworthy, nothing that's really making people want to gravitate to your sound? You just doing what the next nigga's doing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
T-Pain said that. He said, y'all just chasing, like, everybody sounds the same. I don't need, you know what I mean? We don't need 100 Bad Year drinks. We don't need 100.
Nah, facts.
And to bring it home a little bit, Metro Boomin has just released, was it 1991?
Futuristic Summer.
And he said, oh, shit. Ain't nothing left in that cup. I'm thirsty as shit. Thanks for behaving with me, refreshment. Not only is he a producer, he's the water boy. And I'm going to take a quick break to get rid of Cottonmouth. But he said regional sounds is gone, and I agree. Like,
what you mean, though? By regional,
like,
just...
Regional, like, back in the early days, you knew somebody was from Atlanta.
Facts.
Florida sounded like Florida. That's Houston, you had West Coast. That's you had the New York rap. But now you just seem like...
You don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a fact.
You didn't have to ask nobody where they was from. You know what I mean? Like,
you could tell, though. Right. But, and that's what's crazy, bro. That's a hell of a point you made, too, though. You on your shit. I respect you for that. Like, if it's missing to a point to where... It's actually disheartening, though, because at the end of the day, bro, like, if you leave music in the state that it is right now, bro, rap gonna die soon, bro.
It is.
Rap gonna perish soon. You hear me? Like, it's, I don't know. Like, and I don't want to be the older nigga, though. It is some young cats out here, bro, that is standing on a square, but they get hidden and buried by so much of the same old same bullshit that by the time they really get their break or they get their peak, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be too late. But that's the power of TikTok, too, though. TikTok is really showing you who's who. Like, and it might sound crazy. Think about this, and correct me if I'm wrong. I know, you know what I'm saying, we politicking, but think about this, bro. It seems like it's so easy now because all a nigga got to do is be different. Because there's so many people doing the same shit. When one person pop out and they got a different sound or a different form of uniqueness, it's like, oh, he's next. Like, bro, he's just doing, it's a formula from the old school. His uncle, his mom, his daddy might have told him, hey, I like your sound, what you're doing, but focus on this. Might have told their daughter, the female rapper or singer, I like what you're doing, but don't get away from who you are. You know what I'm saying? And then that makes people gravitate to it because it's different from the normal of today. You know what I mean?
Like, the hardest person to be in life is somebody that you're not. And
tell me.
You're right. So, like you said, that's a good point because there's so many people doing the same thing. If I just come out and be myself, be a little different,
I'm
going to stand out from the crowd.
Nah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. But to go back to the Funk Fest, I worked up. Was it last year? Or the year before? The year Scarface came.
I think was if
it might have been 23 to 24. I was working the cleanup crew. I was working, and no lie, I was there. And when he performed, If You Ain't Right with the Lord, nigga, and he just talked through it. Oh my God, I almost shed tears, bro. Like he was.
Nah, I respect that though.
Yeah, he was breaking down like through each hook. He was telling the story, what he was going through. That was just.
Hey, that's so crazy you said that because literally before I came and I pulled up on y'all, bro, I was just watching that Club Shay Shay when he was doing that.
I got to watch it when I get
home. That's pretty dope, bro. He was going through his catalog and just explaining verbatim, word for word, what this song meant, what that song meant. I promise you, bro.
Okay, you're
definitely going
to
dig that, bro.
I try to catch a lot of Shay Shays because, I don't know, I done made that shit for my life. I don't really watch TV. I really don't watch sports no more, quiet as kept. But if I'm watching TV, per se, I'm putting on the YouTube podcast. I'm cutting on All the Smoke. I'm cutting on the Big and Lazy podcast. I'm cutting on, you know, Shay Shay. Yeah, you know what I mean? So how do you feel about... Like you said, you spoke on TikTok content creation. Do you think that's a part of, you know, as artists, do you got to have it to be a successful artist?
Honestly, I feel like, but it's kind of a tricky line, though, because look at it this way. You can oversaturate it in a sense, but the more you putting something in somebody's face, it's going to put you in that algorithm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I heard an artist say something before. He said that, say, in one calendar year, you record an artist that has 24 songs, right?
Uh-huh.
For each one of them songs, bro, make 50 to 100 reels. Each song.
Uh-huh.
But by the end of the year, you're not only forcing yourself into the algorithm, you're proving your consistency.
Mm-hmm.
You 24 songs really ain't that many songs, but the amount of content you're creating per song is killing the game. So I do feel like content is king, but make it be smart content, though.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, don't
clout chase.
Facts.
Yeah. And somebody has been accused recently of clout chasing. So I don't know
why you think they put that on you? Put that jacket on you.
That's between them and God. You know, I don't know. I swear I don't know. The nigga you a clout chasing ass nigga got real violent in my inbox.
I can't speak on that, but what I will say, bro, is like I said when I stepped in, bro, the power of next question is everything, bro.
It is.
Your job is to do your job.
I try to stay away from the goofy shit. And I even ask everybody, is anything off limits? Is certain shit you don't want me to talk about? I'm not here to get no clickbait. I'm not here to rile a nigga up or
ask
some old dumb shit.
Yeah, you're doing your job.
Mm-hmm. Even if in some cases, some people have said too much, got a little drinking, and they called me a couple of like, can you take it out where I talked about somebody's wife? Oh, yeah, I got you, bro.
Yeah.
I'm here, not here to be no messy.
And that's real, though, if you're willing to remove stuff like
that. Yeah, and we do that.
Yeah, that's real, bro. I respect that.
One guy got a little too, I'm going to say his name, he got a little too drunk and something. He said, I can't trust him because you cheat on your wife. What the woo-woo? I was like, oh, shit. So he called him a couple of days later. He said, man, you take it. I was tripping. I don't want to get him. No, I understand that, bro. Yeah. I'm not going to fuck no happy home up for no likes. But, yeah, like, good content, bro. Like, some of that shit be goofy, bro. Like,
it do.
Yeah, like.
It do. And then I think, too, though, like, I always tell younger cats that I deal with, not trying to be coach or nothing, but, like, bro, you are the brand. You know what I'm saying? Like, with the image that you're putting out there, that's a representation of your product, bro. If you come off as a monk-ass nigga, you eventually going to spoil it for yourself and they're going to look past you. You know what I'm saying? So that's important, brother. Like, have some integrity with these posts, YNs, man. Old niggas, too. Shit, it ain't just young niggas. That's not categorized just to an artist. I think that's in general because you know probably better than me because y'all have a brand. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's people that have platforms, bro, and these niggas and women get off the Richter, bro. They'll just say anything, post anything.
Stupid shit.
And you don't want to be the person that's always writing these PR statements and shit because you done said something wrong a million times. You know what I'm saying? And people, again, it'll make people look past you because it's like you always got some shit going on outside of what you're trying to push or what you're trying to do.
Yeah, somebody, shout out to somebody. When I was going through a little online turmoil, I'm not going to speak on it, but he said, man, you can't go back and forth with these people. You can't be on the post. Fuck you. You know what I mean? Potential maybe sponsors, potential people that come to your podcast. I kind of fell back. I still post a little bit, not nothing controversial, but if you want to debate me and talk, we can come on, like you said, pull up on this couch, talk it out or whatnot.
It ain't just you, though. Shit, even as an engineer, bro, like, I'm human, bro. Like I mentioned, like, you think I have my days where I don't be wanting to really speak how I feel about some shit that got me pissed off? Yeah. And then I got to PR check myself. Like, hold on, nigga. If you do that, you might be fucking up the bag. Or you might be, you know what I'm saying? So, bro, we humans, bro. Like,
it's
all human. Yeah, it is.
So, is it a thin line, like, with social media, everybody seems like they got a voice. Is it a thin line that, like, everybody got, like, a voice, but at the same time, some shit you shouldn't speak on?
Man, I'm fucking with the big and lazy, man. Yes, bro. And some of these niggas talk too much, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Some nigga, and I'm not the person, bro, who's trying to regulate who speak because that what's on your mind button exists for a reason. When you're on Facebook, what's on your mind before you hit post? But some people, bro, like, some people just feel like it's a such thing as you don't need a comment for everything, bro. You know what I mean? Like, just like, and then I think what really burns me up, though, at times is like, bro, it's all right not to know every fucking thing.
Right.
You dig what I'm saying? Like, bro, I learn from elders and younger people. The game is to be sure. You know what I'm saying? You're supposed to learn something new every day. I'm not going to learn something new every day from an older person. You know what I mean? So, saying that to say, like, when it comes to people in the social media and posting and shit, some niggas just love hearing themselves talk, bro.
Yeah.
Like, they, and you know, and then it gets to a point to where it's like, okay, they performing for their audience, but if you could remove the internet for a month, who would you be?
Mm.
Who would you niggas be for 45 days without social media? You understand? Who would you be?
Right.
What would you be known for?
Right.
Who would you be? I got the notion that you gonna still be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I know B gonna be who he is, because he's already behind the scenes, but without social media for 45 days, who would some of you niggas be, man?
Mm.
That's real.
That's a question. That's a hell of a statement right there. Switch subjects a little bit. Yeah. Name something that you try to capture or accomplish with every track that you produce or rap on.
Reality and vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
I'm big on vulnerability. And a lot of that comes from, like, growing up, how I came up. You know, I ain't from the slum, but a nigga done had my share of traumatic experiences, good and bad. Like, I've learned a way, bro, to embrace the ugly, bro. because I'm a human being, and some of them scars, bro, they turn pretty when they heal.
Hey, Big and Lazy, give me a moment of your time to talk about IECA Services. They're a licensed electric company operating in Kentucky. They can pull permit. They can do everything from adding outlets to your TV, installing new light fixtures, to acquiring an investment property, or even building something new from scratch. So whether you're in your living room and you want to add on something to your house, or you're in a real estate investor and you want to find an electrician to rewire an investment property, hit up IECA Services right now. Link is in the bio.
When I come on a song, number one, you're going to know it's me. And number two, by the end of that song, I'm trying to invoke my emotions that I put into that microphone into your ears. So you might be going through something 6 months down the line. You might be at work or something. Man, let me play, bro. I need to hear it right now. I just want to leave that everlasting effect on every song. Does it always work every time? Nah. But that's my approach to every song, though.
That's what's up.
Even club songs and shit. Like, something to make you have that run it back factor. You know what I mean?
You know who's my go-to when I'm going through something? And I actually fell back off him because, like, no lie, you ain't about to keep making me cry. Rod Wave.
Ooh, Rod Wave.
Oh, bro. You said Rod Wave? Down a time or two, boy.
Now, Rod Wave, bro, and honestly, though, that's, again, remember what we said a few minutes ago, like, at the time when he came out, and that's something with these young niggas, bro, and I want y'all to really hear, Unc, when I'm telling y'all this, bro. Don't be afraid of it, bro. These young niggas are so melodic. And they got a way of being descriptive with their music, bro. If you really listen to some of these young niggas and how they coming and the emotions that they putting into it and the singing and all of that, Rod Wave was like, he wasn't the first, but he was really like, nigga, I'm going to put 10 songs on the project, all pain, but you going to feel me.
Yeah,
and
real
if,
talk.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't like it, don't play it. And you see he's selling out arenas out there, bro.
Real talk.
Like, for real.
I tell the story all the time. Like, when he first hit that ghetto gospel, I was working at a liquor company. And the drive home was about 30, 35 minutes. So I already had my liquor when I got in the car.
Oh, yeah, you sipping.
I cut that nigga on. Halfway home, I didn't call people crying. I didn't fuck you. Woo, woo.
Damn.
Yeah, it was bad, man.
Off the right way, man.
And this is the last concert I went before COVID shut down. He came to Louisville. Like, I was on him, like, it was like in November, December. He came to Louisville, like, the 1st of January. And, you know, I had to go pop up and show my face.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man. But Rod Wave, man, that soul music just does something to you, man.
That's why I like No Cap.
No Cap? No, I got to get for me.
No, No Cap. No Cap be on that, too, though. No Cap's dope. Like, when it comes to the melodicness and just the pain, you know what I'm saying? No Cap's dope, bro. Mm-hmm. No Cap's dope. He's a younger cat. No Cap, he's dope for sure.
So who you listening to these days? Like, who's in your deck? Like, who's like a maybe about a 3 or 4 rotation?
Shit, bro. I'll be honest, man. I'm one of them, bro. I listen to everything, bro.
Uh-huh.
When I say everything, bro, I might be listening to, yeah, if I can name Johnny Cinco, for sure. I'm going to play some Cinco. I'm going to play some, like right now, I like your boy from Dallas. What's his name?
Zomina?
Zillionaire.
Yeah, Zillionaire.
Zillionaire Doe.
Yeah, okay.
Who else, bro? Let me think. Old school R&B for sure. I like, what's your girl's name that sing? I've been kind of tap dancing with Coco Jones a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I fell in love with that Marja Ambrosia album Dre produced. Crazy.
Really?
Bro, that is the coldest album production-wise I've ever heard. On the rap side, bro, it's so much like my mind is blank right now because my playlist, bro, is literally like thousands of songs. I listen to everything,
right,
though.
Me too.
Rock and roll included. You know what I'm saying? Just have whatever make me vibe, I'm going to bang it, bro. So
my favorite song of all time is Elton John. My favorite, but that's up, bro. Elton John, Rocket Man. I'm listening to that.
Hey, don't worry about it because that David Bowie fame is hard to me, too.
Yeah,
ain't nothing wrong with that, bro. Music's music.
So who's your Mount Rushmore? Producers.
Oof. How many I get? 4 or 5?
4. We go whatever you want, 4 or 5.
4 or 5. Is that from any coast?
Any coast, any era, dead or alive?
Dead or alive. You a bad nigga, bro.
What do you mean?
You a bad nigga.
I ask good questions.
Good questions, bro.
It's all B. Haywood, man. We practice, man.
Behind the scenes.
I just want to get a shout out to him. Can you put your face on the screen? You can't? You can't do that? The logo or something, man, it's already on the screen. But, yeah, man, he's a good guy, man. Like, and he helped me, you know, get to his professionalism, asking good questions, and, you know, keeps my feet to the fire, man. So, shout out to him.
That's definitely needed, and that's a great question. I'll say my 5. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Manny Fresh off the dribble.
Okay.
Manny Fresh.
Are you from Louisville? You sound like you got a...
Nah, man, I'm from Louisville, Kentucky, okay, bro. Born and raised, but my daddy from Hoptown, though. You know what I'm saying, man? He rest in peace, but he from Hoptown.
We might be related, because my family's from Hoptown.
My people's on my daddy's side. They're from the West End and Hoptown.
Because we had a family reunion in Hopkinsville in 2000 and 2001. So we might be, Hoptown ain't nothing to this big.
Are you related to the Caldwells at all? Murray Weathers, Caldwells? Because I'm a West, but it's the West and Murray Weathers and the Caldwells. It was all my people.
So are you related to J.J. West?
They from Hoptown.
Yeah, that's my cousin. Oh, okay, Jeff and all them.
Yeah, that's my cousin. I went to school with them,
Deonica, yeah, that's my blood cousin.
Oh, okay.
That's crazy.
Yeah, small world.
Small world.
I think I'm related to the Dillards and somebody else.
I ain't hip to the Dillards, but I know though, them West and them Caldwells and Merriweathers from like my uncle and them told me like that's their last name, bro. When it's spread out, niggas are still related. You know what I'm saying? Other names, like it could be some Dillards down the line that I ain't hip to. So we definitely probably can somehow, some way, for sure. My five though would be Manny Fresh first. The duo producers, which I could count as one, is Rico Wade and them Organized Noise.
Okay.
That's Dungeon Family.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Goody Mob, them producers. Yeah. And them, that's two. Three. Let me think. Every time I heard they beat, it made me vibe. OG Parker.
Okay.
OG Parker's dope. He used to do a lot of Johnny Cinco shit, too. OG Parker. That's more of the new generation. Who was that used to produce all that Dipset shit back in the day, bro?
It wasn't just Blaze, was it?
It might have been Jess Blaze, bro. It might have been Jess. And if it wasn't Jess, it was wasn't the Urban League. Not the Urban League. Something League. Justice League. Justice League.
I didn't know they worked with Dipset.
Justice League.
I got hip to them like early Ross days.
Yeah.
They got some nice beats.
It sure was. And Kool & Dre and them was fire, too. With them. And, I have to say Dr. Dre, bro, because, like, for a man to do all of that for a coast at that time, bro. Dr. Dre did the same thing that Manny, like, what Dr. Dre did for the West Coast is what Manny did for the South, bro. If you really think about it, like, he put a whole label on his back and made a run and made the West Coast relevant to where they are today, even though it's different now, but, like, them niggas was putting it on their back. That's my five, though.
And you got to think, Dr. Dre started in the 80s, 90s.
Yeah, he was
that's
a DJ
five decades.
First.
Five he's decades. Still relevant,
bro. You know how long 50 years is to be doing something, bro?
Right.
50 years.
Yeah, man. So, one more like question. You got the West Coast, you got the South, you got East Coast, and you got the Midwest. That's the four major regions of rap, of hip hop, of music.
Right.
If you had to, I ain't gonna say erase one of them, what would it be? Like, if you had a
Next question.
Next question? I understand.
Next question. That's a great question, but it's. The reason why I'm gonna say that, though, I'm being silly, but on the real, like, I couldn't erase it because growing up, bro, I listened to everything.
Mm-hmm.
You dig what I'm saying? Right, yeah. So, like, if I was to erase the West Coast, I'm getting rid of E-40. I'm getting rid of
Dre,
yeah. Mac Mall, Messy Mo, of all them niggas. If I get rid of the Midwest, I'm getting rid of more so, like, the Dayton family, which they from Michigan, but still, like, I'm getting rid of niggas like that, Crucial Conflict, Twista. You know what I'm saying? Niggas I grew up listening to. If I get rid of the South, I'm getting rid of Outkast, I'm getting rid of Z-Ro, I'm getting rid of Bun B, Pimp C is the greatest of all to me, you know what I'm saying? Like, and of course, with the
Bun
East...
Bun B? The greatest?
Nah, Pimp C.
Oh, okay, Pimp C.
And then with the East Coast, bro, like, I can't get rid of Jay-Z and DMX, as dark hell is hiding.
Mm-hmm.
I got a next question on that one, bro, for sure.
So name some Louisville artists that you still want to lock in with, and what would each session sound like?
Be honest, man, I work with so many people. It's a far stretch, man. I would love to lock in with Bryson, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember back in 2013 before, you know what I'm saying, my guy made his move and did what he did or whatever, made the sacrifices to get where he's at. Like, a lot of people, we was in certain rooms, not me and him per se, but, like, certain people that knew me and knew him was like, I need to get together because I got a real different type of sound and music. Like, it ain't just probably your typical shit that you gonna hear. So, I definitely say Bryson, man. Like, if that opportunity was to ever present itself, because not only am I an engineer, but I write out my own music and I produce, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, okay. I would just like to see what that would be. Even if I'm a fly on the wall, writing camp or something, you know what I mean? So, Bryson, if you're hearing this, bro, if any of your people hearing this, bro, you know, if the stars ever align, bro, you ever reach back to the city, bro, I'm definitely ready. And that's 100. I ain't too proud on camera to admit that because I think what that man is doing is amazing for the state alone. You know what I'm saying? Like, Bryson low-key, bro, and I'm saying this now, Bryson's like the reincarnation of Static to me for the city, bro, because everything Static did in the 90s for music in general, R&B, Bryson done wrote a whole lot of shit for a lot of people, bro, in these past few years that people really may not be familiar with. You know what I'm saying? He's giving our Louisville flavor, our Louisville swag, our ear to music. He's giving that to the world, but not being selfish about it. Same way Static did, bro. Like, Static's writing music for people. Yeah, he'll tell you I wrote that song, but he let them be in the front. You know what I'm saying? Right. Bryson does that a lot, bro. He might play the cut, but long time, he done wrote that for somebody. You know what I mean?
And I think his Trap Soul album is it's one of the best R&B albums ever. I ain't gonna, it's top 10, top 15, but I also, from the standpoint I hear a lot of R&B artists today sound like
mimicking him. They copying the sauce, bro.
Yeah, real talk. Yeah,
straight from Louisville, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. They copying the sauce, bro. For sure.
Describe the perfect perfect music video if you had, if the budget wasn't a question. The perfect.
I would like to do something. I got a song called Living in the Night. Uh-huh. I produced it. It's co-wrote by me, someone else, a great female, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do something, bro, like the Harlem Nights, the 40s vibe.
Oh, okay.
You feel what I'm saying? Like, what I mean by the 40s vibe, though, is like live band and everything. The women is dressed like they was at that time. Kind of like a mini movie, though. You know what I'm saying? But like some Harlem Nights type of vibe or something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just because the song is called Living in the Night. But it's just like a real melodic, mellow vibe. I'll send it to you, too, just so you'll probably...
Is it unreleased?
Yes, unreleased.
Okay,
it's
okay.
Unreleased, yeah. But,
do you want to mention the girl that's on the track? Or?
Yeah, her name is Autumn.
Oh, okay, I got you. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that video concept for me is just crazy because, like, I've done videos, bro, some small budget, some medium budget, but that video, like, I really would like to reincarnate the whole Harlem Nights theme.
That'd be dope.
The gambling, you know what I'm saying? The shot in the foot, all that, like, just reenact that whole vibe of Harlem Nights, though.
That'd be amazing, man.
That's going to come with a budget.
You know what
I'm saying? Like, that's going to come with a budget.
Costumes alone, like,
for sure.
Six figures, you know what I mean?
Hey, bro, the set, everything.
Yeah,
Not fair.
So, what platform that you say will brings you, like, real fans? Like, which platform would you, like, social media, would you say is, like, the biggest to artist that's, like...
To attack. Man, yeah. I'm late to it, but I'm really discovering TikTok, bro.
Yeah, TikTok.
TikTok is the one that's just gone, bro. Somebody don't know, like what you're doing, or they rocking with your flavor, they gonna run with your shit.
Yeah.
Repost it, duets, videos, whatever. I would definitely say TikTok for sure.
Yeah, I'd say TikTok, too, because... Like you said, you can put out, they can be doing some other shit to your music.
Yeah.
You know I mean, just somebody could be baking cakes.
Come on.
Somebody
man.
Could be riding on the bike.
Yes.
Somebody could be clocking into work. Somebody
not
could.
Sure.
Be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like you said, 150 reels per song.
Per song.
Yeah.
50 to 100 per song.
That's easy attainable.
Man.
If artists can only afford one upgrade mic, room treatment, or engineering knowledge, which one would you tell them to invest in first and why?
Engineering knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And the why would be because what's the use of having a treated room if you don't understand how to mix your frequencies to mess with the acoustics? What's the reason for having a top dollar mic if you don't know how to EQ your voice?
Mm-hmm.
Information mm-hmm. is power.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because right. with that, you can then take that the engineer knowledge, say get you a $500 or $600 mic, give yourself a year of really critiquing and tweaking, you know what I'm saying, EQing, and then once you really get that mix game down, then you upgrade and get that real powerful mic, so everything's going to be quality every time after that.
Oh, okay.
Definitely get the engineer knowledge, for sure.
Well, what's a tough moment you're comfortable sharing, and how did you reshape your writing or engineering?
It's actually not pertaining to music. It's when I lost my daddy, bro.
Sorry.
Yeah, losing my daddy, bro, that knocked me off my square. But the thing about it that was crazy was, like, the day he passed, you remember when the Lil Baby song came out with Drake, Pikachu?
Yeah.
It wasn't called Pikachu, I think. But, like, I was in the hospital, bro. That song came out on a Monday. I'm sitting at his bedside, dude, in a coma. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was 30 days, he's in a coma. This is, like, day 27, day 28. You hear me? I'm writing... Just because I'm frustrated and shit, like I told you, that's how I get it off. You know what I'm saying? So I'm writing everything going on, whatever, whatever. Fast forward to the Wednesday. He passed on a Wednesday, but that morning, I probably was up, bro, for like 18 hours straight or something. My brother came in, you dig? And he was like, bro, go home, get some sleep. I always had a studio wherever I lay my head, whatever. So I go to the crib, bro, and I record just to get it out of me. At the time on Audio Mac, bro, I was new to Audio Mac. I had two followers. You hear me?
Yeah.
I upload the song. Go to sleep. Wake up, I get the call. They telling me, you know, you might want to get up here. He only got 2 hours to live, so on and so forth. So,
yeah.
Smash back in the hemi, back to the hospital. He passed. I'm so numb, I can't cry, whatever, whatever. Probably like 2 hours after he passed, we doing what niggas do. We venting, my brother, my cousins, everybody crying and shit, whatever. My phone keep going off, like, to the point to where I eventually got to look at this phone.
Yeah.
That song that I had posted that morning...
Uh-huh.
It was at 1,000 plays.
Yeah.
All right. I'm like, okay. 2 hours later, now it's at 2,000. Now I'm looking at this shit every 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Every 30 minutes, bro, it's going up like 500-600 plays.
No shit.
To the point to where QC, the label, sent me a cease and desist. In 24 hours, I got 10,000 plays. The plays was going so crazy, it got into the algorithm with... They released, because they released that song on a Monday. I put out my cover on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
They gave me a cease and desist, saying that to say, though, after my father, he died and shit, my brother, my uncle went to the crib, and on his dresser, bro, I done told this story before, but on his dresser, The nigga had like 5 or 6 of my mixtapes all in a straight line on the dresser.
Uh-huh.
So saying that to say, that was how I was able to overcome something that was very difficult for me. And like, you know what, this man's dying wish was for me to do what I love, which right. is music. You know what I'm saying? Whether if I win, whether if I fail, whatever, he wanted me to keep pushing. So that's how I was able to navigate through that very tough. That was the hardest shit I ever had to deal with. So
yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I know losing somebody. My brother, actually, we buried my brother, I want to say 8 years ago today.
Damn.
Yep. That was real tough too, man. That was real sad.
How'd you get through that?
How'd I get through that? No lie. I ain't got a close relationship with my daddy. Shout out to my Uncle Robert. Girl. My Uncle Robert and my daddy told me the same thing. I can count on how many times I could see my daddy on my hands. I might be a stretch to see my toes, you know, I might be 12 or 13.
Yeah.
But he pulled up, you know, was all down my grand's house, and he gave him and my Uncle Robert, they went together. They just both gave me the same. He said, man, you the man of the house. Like, you got to be strong. He said, your mother's in recovery. You got to be strong, and you got to be, you know what I mean? You got to, like, and that just stuck with me. And to this day, my mom ain't never seen me cry. Like, she asked me that. She said, why don't you cry? I ain't never seen you cry. Oh, because me and my brother, if anybody know, we been at the hip. Since birth.
Forever.
And ain't no, yeah. You didn't see me without Joe. Kind of towards the end of his life, because he got kind of off at a bottle, but that's neither here nor there. But
right.
No lie, my brother, my Uncle Robert and my daddy, he gave me some advice. He said, man, you got to be strong. I know it's going to be hard. I know it's going to be tough. And he said, you let all your tears out tonight, man, because you got to be strong for this kid. You gotta be strong for my granny. Yeah. You got to be strong for your my mother, which is in recovery. She still is in recovery. She's going on 17 years of sobriety.
That's a great milestone to my Dukes, bro.
Yeah, shout out to my Dukes. At the time, well, it was 8. So that's been, at the time, she was only about 8 or 9 years sober, but I said, fuck. Because I didn't, at all the kids, like my little sister, she's 21, so she never seen my mother at the worst of her addiction.
Yeah.
So I said, I got to keep going. Like, I got to stay strong for mom. Like,
facts.
Like, she checked out. Like, she the band in the house. Like, I was out there at the house by myself. I'm paying the bills.
Yeah.
I'm making sure the shit's getting done. And she thanked me for that, too. And this is probably about a couple of days. You always been my rock and yada, yada, yada. And when shit hit the fan, I know I can count on you. You solid. But, yeah, that's how I got through that, man, that tough situation, man. And
I mean to put you on the spot with that, but I'm
going
to transfer it, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. we keeping it platinum, so.
Yeah, I love when people ask me questions, you know. Yeah. So, the big and lazy, we got a growing audience, man.
Okay.
So who do you feel Louisville media platforms get the right and wrong about covering artists? Did I say that right? What do you feel Louisville media platforms get right and wrong about covering local artists?
What I think they get right is that Louisville's very good in a sense, like a lot of these, the platforms is good about reaching out to people who's moving and grooving.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it be some niggas that you will see, well, young ladies, women that you will see. You may not have never heard their name, but they'll get to bless such platform or said platform, and you do your homework. And you're like, okay, I can see why they did that. You know why they reached out to get them on there. So the city does a great job as far as trying their best to get people on these platforms that's nobody might not really know them. What I don't like, though, is a lot of the negativity that gets put into some of these interviews and so forth on these platforms. But then that kind of goes back to, like, what we've been saying.
Next question.
Next question. You hear me? Like, mm-hmm. It goes back to the next question, for sure.
And like I say, and I'm pretty sure all media platforms are the same. You see that camera right there.
Fact.
You see that mic right there. You see these bright lights. You see yourself getting recorded right there. This ain't right. No secret recording.
Nah, man.
Right. This ain't no tricking you, no candid camera type shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This is a high-quality production. Shout out to B. Haywood again, man. So, like, my platform, I try to stay away from the negativity. Like, I be looking sometimes. We'll have some of the biggest artists come through here, but the next day, well, when we drop it, our shit's getting overshadowed by a local project fight. This we might get 150 views. This local project fight
got 10,000.
The fight got 10,000. The post fight interviews got another 10,000.
You ain't lying. Hey, nah, for real. I ain't lying, bro. That's a hell of a way to look at that, bro.
Bro, serious business.
Nah, for real.
The pre-fight, they might have been arguing on what? That got a
10 seconds.
Yeah, 10. That's another 3,000 views. They fight. That's some views. The recap of the fight. That's another, like, goddamn.
Bro, that got to be frustrating when, you know, y'all done put in a hard
grind. Yeah, man. Yeah, that's.
Might be in here sweating in front of these motherfucking lights.
Yeah, these lights
doing on. All this work.
Uh-huh.
For it to get overshadowed by negativity.
Yeah.
That's real, bro. I've never had to look at it that way because I'm not a podcaster, but I can't imagine that, bro. Like,
real talk.
Really, you know what I'm saying? Getting a great interview or something, and you happen to release it on the day of a fight or something.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's deep.
Real talk. And I wanted to touch, we touched on this in a former segment.
Uh-huh.
Like the drill music. I'm going to ask you this before we get out of here. The drill music, how do you feel it has affected the music today? Like, is it negative or positive? Because some of these songs are just third, 3 or 4 minute murder ballads. Like, god dang. Man, I mean, ain't no lying. Niggas don't two-step.
You ain't lying.
Love their kids. Y'all just drilling and killing shit for 3 minutes. And
I got to be honest, bro. Like, and you know, I'm going to stand on my square at all time. Ain't nothing positive come from it. The only positive that may have come from it was these young dudes was able to provide for their families.
Uh-huh.
I can't knock nobody doing what you do to provide for your family.
Right.
You know what I mean? But on the other side of that coin, that's created a mini genocide, bro.
It has, bro.
I'm a firm believer in, bro, if it's time for it, it's time for it. Ain't nothing to talk about. But at the same time, though, like, every action doesn't need to resort to that. You get what I'm saying? Like, niggas is getting murked now over looking at a nigga too long.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I can't blame all of it on drill, but I do feel like drill has gotten to the point to where, remember in the beginning of when we started doing the whole you dig, like, drill has gotten to the point to where that's what really overcast talent now.
Right.
It'll be a nigga rapping drill rap, and he swear he's the coldest thing out. Mm-hmm. Out the freezer. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, when you listen to it, it's like, bro, you ain't saying nothing. You smacking niggas
right
on the mic.
That's all it is.
You knocking niggas off on the mic.
Disrespecting dead. That ain't never been cool.
I mean, I always look at it like, it's like I said, I've been through my share of situations. Sometimes, bro, a nigga do something to you, and it'll make you feel like that once he might meet whatever that's coming to him. You know what I'm saying? But I am from a generation where niggas ain't speaking on that, bro. We ain't got nothing to say. It is what it is. Some things is left better unsaid.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Leave streets in the street.
But drill, I don't know, man. Like again, man, just to recircle back, though, drill has made a way for, like, Chief and all them when they came out. But they provided. Them niggas got rich.
They did.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they got filthy rich, was able to provide for their families. But it brought a whole onslaught of death that the world is affected by today.
Yeah.
That kids now that's 10, 11, 12, they might not have their big brother or their uncle or whoever at home, because they might be 10 or 12 now, but back when that drill came out, they uncle or their brother was 16, 17. Niggas made a wrong decision, and they got checked out or they doing life.
Right.
So that's the effect drill has on music to me, bro, for real.
It has a lot, like you said, one positive, but in the same breath, I can't fault the artist for taking that bag when it's the
True. It's
the higher up.
It's the machine, bro. It's the machine. Label.
Yeah,
the
uh-huh. How am I going to tell a 17-year-old, 8-year-old kid to turn down $500,000?
Come on, man.
Fuck,
he's taking it, bro.
Right.
He's taking
I'm
it.
Taking it. Shit.
I think, too, what's crazy, though, is it'd be like how you said 17, 18, right there, take that bag.
Mm-hmm.
But then, well, I think people fail to realize this shit. If God willing, God keep that person covered, one day that 17-year-old nigga gonna be 25.
Mm-hmm.
Then he might turn, make 30.
Right.
He can't keep talking about the same shit he was talking about when he was 17. It ain't gonna, his audience, nigga, we all was wild when we was 17.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When we turn 30, nigga, what's the message gonna be then?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's when labels start cutting niggas loose and they just go back to the bottom, snatch up another young nigga, start the process all over again.
Damn. Like a form, huh?
Tell me.
So, one more question before we get out of here. 10 years from now, what's the sentence you hope people say when they Google Rod Smooth?
Legend out of the state of Kentucky. And in that Wikipedia, I hope that it says something to this, and I really mean this. I hope it says something to the effect of, I was the artist that stood true to my sound. I was the artist that always stood on his square. Even though I could have talked about a lot of shit niggas was talking about, I resorted to my talent, bro.
Right.
Like, for real, Mr. 34 albums, man.
That's amazing right there, man.
It's man, like, I went so long, bro. Like, I'm a humble nigga by nature, bro. Like, I don't really get into popping it. But, like, as time is going on, bro, like, that's something that I had to look in the mirror one day and be proud of, bro. Like, you know how much shit I went through with my life with music?
Mm-hmm.
Wins, losses, getting laughed at. You hear me?
Right.
Come on, man. 34, bro. Like, that's a milestone, bro.
It is, man.
I know niggas in the industry, bro, that don't have that to lean on. Now, I'm not saying 34, like, all of them was the best quality in the past, but, like, my life is documented through music, bro, over the past 20 years, bro. You know what I'm saying? So
that's amazing, man.
That's what I want. I appreciate that, bro. Mm-hmm. That's what I want when they look up my name, bro.
Legendary, man.
Legend.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you stopping by, man. It was an amazing conversation. You want to shout out anybody on your socials before you get out of here?
Man, my social is at Mixed, M-I-X-E-D, by Rah-Rah, you feel me? Definitely also, man, I'm in here kicking flavor with Big and Lazy. If y'all don't get on here, y'all crazy, you hear me?
There we go.
Man, outside of that, though, man, shouts out to everybody that's moving and shaking, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, shouts out to everybody that done been through something and probably forgot who they was, man. And if you ain't heard from nobody else, man, I love you. You hear me? That's who I want to shout out. Everybody, the have-nots. You know what I'm saying?
People at the bottom.
Bro, people at the borough, bro.
Because before I get out of here, I'm going to give a little advice. When you operate in life from a point of, what word am I looking for? It could always be worse. I say be grateful for what you got. If I'm like, people ask me, why are you always happy? Why are you always laughing? Because it could always be worse.
Facts.
I might not have the fastest car. I got a nice car. Hell, I got a car. It's a person next to me wishing it might be, I wish I had that type of car. And it's a person that's saying they wish they had my type of car. It's a person on the bus stop saying he wish he had a car. Real talk.
Facts.
It's always going to be a bigger something, a bigger. Mm-hmm. So I operate from a humbleness, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you'll be a lot happier, be a lot. And get off social media. I'm not saying get off social media, but a lot of that shit's fake. A lot of that.
Man.
People fronting like they got stuff and they don't. You can't be jealous. Some people jealous of envious shit that don't even exist.
Don't
like,
exist, bro. About facade, bro.
Real talk.
Nah, facts, bro.
Real. Some people like, that's mental illness. You jealous of this lady that got a Birkin bag, but
not knowing
she's
what she
going
did
over
for that Birkin
right,
bag.
She's going over to Dubai and doing, you know, you heard what they doing to them over there.
Come on, man. Some of them ain't coming back.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Some of them coming up missing.
Right.
Nah, for real. The greatest thing to what you said, too, bro, is some people going to envy your problems, man.
Real talk.
I always remember that, bro. Like, even you saying that, I'm this type of nigga. I'm going to take what you said and stride on it, because I got my days where I get frustrated about shit. You know what I'm saying? I got vehicles, all that, but, like, that's solid for you to say it on the camera, bro. I respect you for
that. Yeah, real talk. It ain't all about, real talk, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate the flowers, man. Like, appreciate, you know, that's what I do, man. Like, I try to give advice to, mainly to the youth. But I'm whoever listening to it, man, whoever 35, whoever needed to hear this, man, operate life from a point of humbleness, man. It can always be worse. And the reason I got onto this, so my homie asked me, because he stayed with his baby mama. He said, man, would you consider me homeless? I said, that's a good question. I said, go ask that question to a motherfucker sleeping under the bridge and see what answer you get. You got a nice house, you got kids that love you, a nice neighborhood. You might not own the motherfucker, but you're there.
You're there.
You full of cabinets full of refrigerators and people that love you, clothes on your back. Go ask that person to a person that's homeless. You see the answer you get.
Man, for sure.
And we're going to end it just like that, man.
Go.
Yeah.
Another confirmed multimedia production. Confirmed.
Subscribe now.
This is the Big and Lazy Podcast. Give us something good to eat. Give us something good to watch.